Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Welcome to Undisputed. We are live from Los Angeles. I'm Jenny Taft here with Skip Bayless, Shannon Sharp. Good morning.
Hi, Jenny.
Hey, good morning.
I want it known publicly. I have never, ever refused to bump this with you before the show starts.
Yeah,
not one time ever. I always do it because I observe.
Begrudgingly you do it, especially on a Monday when you have low energy.
Maybe last Monday it was begrudging.
And the Monday
maybe
before.
Maybe a little. Not a lot.
So this is the moment. This is it. Okay, we did it. It's out of the way. We have plenty to get to this morning. Is a huge contract actually a bad thing for Dak Prescott? And which QB would you take if you had one game. Win?
We're going to get there.
Yeah, we're going to do it.
That's important, but we have some developments, guys, with Richard Sherman and Baker Mayfield. After the 49ers 31-3 win on Sunday, Sherman claimed that Baker refused to shake hands pregame and called it Bush League. Yesterday, video was released that shows that Baker did shake hands with Sherman before the coin toss, but did run away following the toss, avoiding a second handshake. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got the video. Shannon, do you feel differently after seeing this?
I do. And Skip, I owe Baker an apology because based on the information that I had yesterday and some of the quotes and then the way Sherm had... Sherm is also right also, but I owe him an apology because I thought that he refused even at the beginning to shake...
That's how it came across, to shake Richard Sherman's hand. Yep.
And it didn't happen that way. Skip... Allow me to take the people inside to how the coin toss work. Skip, you're the home team. I'm the visitors. We walk to the center of the field. We shake hands. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? The referee will say, okay, guys, turn around. You'll put your back to an end zone. I'll put my back to the end zone. Mm-hmm. Since I'm the visitor, the official will say, okay, this is head, this is tail. You'll call it. Mm-hmm. Call it in the air. I call heads. Heads it is. You want the ball, you want to defer. I'll defer. Which goal do you want to defend? Okay. Hey, bro, I get at there after the game. Boom, 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 boom. We gone.
Okay.
But, Skip.
Would you do boom, 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 boom a second time?
It depends. Now, if I had lost a coin toss and they said, well, they're kicking the ball off, that means I'm going to get the ball. Now, a lot of times I didn't bring my helmet out there.
I got to
go find my helmet.
I got to
go get ready. No. Hey, bro, I get at y'all. I'm gone. That's how I would have done it.
I'm
not holding Baker feet to the fire on that situation.
Yep.
Once he did it the first time, I'm cool with it. But let me tell you what happened. What's at the crux of this, Skip? Richard Sherman believes that Baker Mayfield has been disrespectful not only to the league but to some of the players in the league. And you can see by that handshake, he really doesn't care for a Baker. Baker can sense that Sherman does not like him. So Baker makes no effort to like, because everybody else, they dap, they hug, hey, bro, tap each other on the back.
He hugged Kittle.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm.
Everybody else, shake hands, tap each other on the back. Mm-hmm. Richard Sherman shakes his hand, Baker sticks his hand out.
Okay,
Sherman, there's no love. Sherman doesn't like him for some of his behavior. Baker senses, man, this dude don't like me. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, ain't no sense in me being fake.
Okay.
Ain't no sense in me trying to show love back.
Yep.
I don't like him, hey, but I am going to do what we're supposed to do out here. Mm-hmm. Protocol, shake hands, we're going to keep it moving. I think that's the gist of it right there. Mm-hmm. And Sherm didn't lie because at the end, the second time around, Baker did peel and run. But I'm not going to hold that against him, Skip. Sometimes guys do that, especially if you're going to receive the ball because my helmet was back out of it, so now I got to go.
Who won the coin toss? The Browns. So Baker was about to be on offense. Baker did not have his helmet, so he had to bolt. And plus, you got to get ready to what's the play call? What are we going to do?
Maybe not so much that, Skip. He might have wanted to get two or three last-minute throws
to get
his arm loose. So, therefore, that's why. But I owe him an apology, Skip, because the way it came across yesterday.
Well, that's what he flat out said.
He didn't say. I thought at the beginning, because I'm like, hold on, wait a minute. You mean to tell me you walk to the middle of the field at the beginning and you don't shake a guy's hand?
Yeah.
Now, that's some BS there. But that's not how it happened. I believe this is the way it played out, Skip, because after we see the video, we see that he did shake Sherm's hand at the beginning. He didn't do it at the tail end. But there's two times, you normally at the beginning, and once you win, whoever wins the coin toss, especially if you know somebody, Skip, if you know the guy, hey, bro, I'm going to holler at you at the end of the game. Good luck, stay healthy, boom, you go on and do it like that. So I owe Baker an apology, but this comes down to as simple as this, Skip. Sherm felt Baker Mayfield has been very disrespectful to some of the procedures of how the NFL operate. He has not paid its proper respect. Baker sensed that Sherm did not like him. His body language, Skip, if you see Baker didn't move once. He stuck his hand out. It wasn't no, I'm going to pat you, shake your hand, and pat you on the back. Because a lot of times, dog, you shake, hey, bro, what's up? You know, you
Skip,
you,
bit more.
You saw you cover this game too low. You know how guys are out there. So I believe that is what took place.
Okay. So it is big of you to apologize. You were showing a lot more class than Richard showed after the game, in my estimation, because the only quote we had to go off yesterday, we were sort of a prisoner of this quote of that moment, was Richard's quote to Michael Silver saying, what's amazing and annoying was him not shaking hands at the beginning. So that's what we knew yesterday was just that quote. And I immediately told you, man, it's just hard for me to believe that Baker wouldn't even shake his hand. Because what set Baker off at Kansas 2 years ago was that the Jayhawks captains refused to shake his extended hand. And then he went off and eventually grabbed his crotch on the other sideline to signal them, that's what I think of you guys. And it was all about not shaking his hand. So then, wait a second, we'd have role reversal to the point that Baker would refuse to shake an extended hand from Richard Sherman. I just found that impossible to
you
believe.
Did. Yep.
But in this case, at the very best case, in the best case, Richard was exaggerating what happened because, yes, Baker did bolt. And I don't know, maybe you could, and by the way, as he bolted, Richard waved bye to him. So Richard was taking that personally. But I think Richard wanted, he wanted to latch on to something to condemn Baker before the game to motivate himself. And right away in the first series, he gets a pick. And then he's off to the races that night. And it continued into the pregame. But at very worst, he just flat out lied about Baker not shaking hands because he did shake his hand and he shook everybody's hands, some more, you know, with a little more than more emotion than others. But for me, Richard Sherman accused Baker Mayfield of Bush League behavior. And this is just me, but what Richard did after the game was Bush League because that's low to try to impugn this man's league-wide reputation by saying he refused to shake my hand.
Especially, Skip, given some of the things that Baker has done, a lot of times people are not going to be willing to give Baker Mayfield the benefit of the doubt. And had we not been able to find and locate this video, we're going to have to take, we probably more times than not, 85, 90% of the people are going to take Sherm's word over Baker Mayfield, considering how he's conducted himself through some of these occasions. But luckily, we were able to find the video and see. Now, Sherm, And I don't know, and Sherman's been at this a long time, Skip. Sometimes guys do, you know, like I said, if I know it, Skip, if I'm not getting the ball, I'm in no rush to get back to the sideline, Skip, because the defense is going to be up there. So I can, hey, dap the guys up again. Hey, bro, hey, I'm going to get at you at the end of the game, bro. So, hey, stay healthy, you know, hey, good luck. But if I got to run back, Skip, I got to get my helmet. A lot of times, Skip, I was even late getting to the middle of the field because I had to go through my routine. So I got a routine that I got to go through. So,
And I would think a quarterback would have at least as big a routine as you would have.
You know, a lot of times John was throwing. You know, the officials are calling, captains. And then John, he's going, he's running onto the field. And a lot of quarterbacks do that, Skip. They're throwing to the very last minute until the officials say, captain, I need the captains. Then we head out.
So, what do I believe? My two cents from a distance was going on psychologically with Richard Sherman on Monday night. Remember, since 2016, he has slowly fallen out of the spotlight and out of relevance. 2016 was the last year Richard Sherman made a Pro Bowl, and that was his fourth Pro Bowl through his big Seattle Legion of Boom run. And then he tore his Achilles, and his grade as a cornerback on Pro Football Focus has dropped each of his last five full seasons.
Right.
This year, he has moved back up to 17th-ranked cornerback through five games. Last year, he finished 50th. But the point was, Monday night, as he has faced his, so to speak, football mortality, I'm sure in the back of his mind at age 31, he's thought occasionally, man, is this it for me? Will I ever be a star cornerback again?
Right.
Will I ever be that guy
right.
in Seattle again?
Right.
And all of a sudden, on Monday night football, right out of the box, he picks off Baker Mayfield.
Right.
And they had a resounding win. And I think they opened some eyes nationally, and he knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was talking to Lisa Salters on the sideline at the end of the game, and ESPN went to them because it was such a blowout, and he's going back and forth with Lisa, and mm-hmm. she was making the point, you know, they laughed between each other about, well, I've covered you all these games, you've never had an interception. And he finally had an interception with Lisa
right.
there. So he was really feeling himself
right.
post-game.
Right.
So he wanted the narrative to be, through Mike Silver of NFL.com, I taught this upstart, loudmouth quarterback a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And to exaggerate the lesson, he needed to go to, he wouldn't shake my hand.
Right.
And, again, that's a low blow to me.
Right.
But then he was so full of himself, he got up before the assembled media, and he lectured the media and taunted the media if we could hear him go off after the game.
You want idiots to sound like idiots, but you want them to hold their position the whole year. Like, don't flip-flop with us. Like if you said we weren't going to make it, you said we were some way early on, just stick with that position. Hold it. Don't try to give us credit now. Don't try to give us credit now. Just stick. If you had us ranked 25, keep us ranked 25. If you had us going home early, if you had us going 3-3 and whatever, have us going 3-3 and whatever. You know what I mean? At least stick by your word, because I want you to sound like an idiot at the end.
Okay, maybe they all will sound like idiots, but let's see what happens. They got to play the Rams a couple times.
Right.
They got to play the Seahawks a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They got to play Kyler a couple.
Right.
You know,
right.
let's just see how it plays out.
Well, let's
could be right. They look really good.
Well, the thing is with athletes, and a lot of athletes have been felt like Richard, feel like if they don't get the credit they deserve at the beginning.
Yep.
But Skip, as you get new information, the situation should change. Well, we think this team is not going to be very good, but all of a sudden they start playing. It's like, okay, this team is better than I thought. Maybe I need to reevaluate. I mean, there's no harm in that. Richard, the narrative still could have been, Skip, Richard's like, you know what? We played well because we felt we needed to teach a certain mm-hmm. gentleman on the other side a lesson because we don't feel that he's paid the proper respect to this game and to those that play this game mm-hmm. that came before him that will come after him. He thinks he's bigger than the game. He thinks he's a superstar, although he's accomplished nothing. And let that be a lesson to that young man. Mm-hmm. Doesn't even have to call his name. Everybody knows he's going to be talking about Skip.
Mm-hmm.
Let that be a cautionary tale.
Mm-hmm.
This game will humble you mm-hmm. if you refuse to humble yourself. He didn't need to say the guy didn't shake his hand. Now, Skip, the guy didn't shake his hand the second time, but that... Anybody that heard that would have assumed he meant the first time.
Yeah.
Correct.
Because a lot of people don't know that there is a second handshake
yeah.
after the coin toss.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So here's the greatest irony to Monday night to me. How did Richard Sherman put himself on the map initially in the National Football League? By doing a lot of the same things Baker Mayfield has
right.
done, which is be outrageously
point.
Outspoken
yeah.
to the point of irreverent.
Right.
having little respect for nobody mm-hmm. who is superior to you. So when did we first hear of Richard Sherman? We have to go back to 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle at Seattle upset the Patriots.
Yep.
Tom Brady did not have a great game that day. And what did Richard do after the game? He taunted Tom Brady on the field. Do you remember this?
As with you mad,
you
bro.
Mad, bro?
Woo.
Yeah. Okay, and that was his coming
yeah.
out party.
Yeah.
That was the first I really knew of yeah. Richard Sherman.
And the thing for me, Skip, I never liked that. Look, you can have your piece,
mm-hmm.
but don't get in someone's face.
Okay.
Because the guy's already upset. Now, guy, swing on you. Now you're going to be mad talking about, well, what? Come
what?
On now, bro. You won the game.
Okay.
You want to get in your locker room, you can say all you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Say that. But don't come in my face
mm-hmm.
with that foolishness.
And then he started to go after Darrelle Revis via Twitter. Yeah. And at that point, Revis 2012 was the preeminent corner. Right. And most people
And that was the debate.
That he, well, but again, I thought Revis was at least the second greatest corner ever to Deion.
Right.
Darrelle used to go at it with me good-naturedly about, no, I'm better than Deion. I don't think I'd go that far.
No.
But still, one of the tweets I found this morning was back from Darrelle before he even really knew who Richard was. And he said, this dude steady putting my name in his mouth to get notoriety. Yep, that's exactly what's happening. Yeah. Then he started going after Roddy White, who would fire back at him. And the more Roddy White fired back, the more it put Richard on the map.
Right.
And then I told you yesterday about the incident I had in 2013 in March with Richard, in which his people wanted him to come on our show on ESPN. It was actually at that point in the afternoon, a 30-minute show, just to talk off-season football, and his people made it clear he's been in some controversies with Brady and Revis and Roddy White. And
he wants to clear that up.
He doesn't want to do any controversy.
Okay.
He just wants to talk football. So I was completely blindsided because right out of the box, he's attacking me personally. And to this day, I have no idea what sparked it, except once again, I felt like, well, at least I'm in good company because he's attacking all these stars. So he wants to continue to put himself on the map.
Right.
And we asked him to come back on and do it on First Take in the two-hour show, and we couldn't get him to come back on. And then we've asked him to be on this show multiple times, and he has not come on. You know him a little bit.
I know him a little bit, yes.
So maybe at some point he will come on, and we could have discussions about all this, because I would love to talk about all of the above with him.
Okay.
But the point was that he had a lot of Baker in him early, right?
Right.
They're not exactly the same guy, but the MO, Baker's not trying to talk his way into notoriety. I think it's just the way he's built.
Right.
He just goes after any and everybody.
I think a lot of that has to do, Skip, you know, there are certain positions that we think comes along with trash talking. You think the wide receivers are divas. We think corners trash talk. Hmm. There are certain positions that you're like, okay, we accept that. But when you see a quarterback,
I agree.
A quarterback normally is CEO, very buttoned up. No matter what happens outside, he's the guy that's going to be calm. Everything's okay. Oh, how you doing? No matter what's been said. Think about it, Skip. No matter what's been said about Tom Brady, Tom always says, oh, that's a great team. They play hard. The coach has He's always going to be PC. He's always going to be politically correct.
Yeah. Yep.
Even though he's seething inside, he understands you can be good at any game if you understand how to play the game. Understand the rules of the game. Right now, Baker doesn't really understand the rules of the game. He just wants to play on his terms.
Yep.
There are certain things, Skip. Tom Brady, look, coach, think about it. I think deep down, Tom doesn't have the greatest infatuation or love for Coach Belichick.
Yes.
But publicly, he says all these glowing things. I would have never been the quarterback.
Yep.
I would have never been the player that I have become had it not been for him. Saying bull jive. He became the coach. He became me. That's what he's saying to himself, Skip. But he's always going to say the right thing publicly. I don't believe any other quarterback would have handled the situation with Hugh Jackson the way Baker handled it. It's just not a good look for him.
I agree.
Especially if you're the quarterback.
Right.
Now, we expect a wide receiver or a DB to do crazy, outlandish things like that, but not the quarterback.
Yeah. Obviously, I love Baker. Jenny loves Baker.
Yeah. But
neither of us liked the shot he took at Daniel Jones.
Right.
It was just gratuitous. It was just off the cuff.
Unnecessary.
I think he thought it was off the record.
Right.
They're just having conversation across the dinner table.
Right.
Boom. He looks up at the monitor and sees on ESPN, the Giants took Daniel Jones. What are they thinking?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bad look. Bad idea. And the shots he continues to take at Sam Ehlinger, who now has to play the
They've got history, though. No, it goes back to high school days.
They got high school, but it's like
Sam Ehlinger didn't play against Baker, did he?
There's,
has Sam Ehlinger been in school that long?
No.
Because Baker, hold on, Baker was a red shirt. Okay, Baker's been in the second year in the
they
league.
They have not played against
Could, there could not have.
It's just the rival high schools. There's more
Austin
to it.
Austin high school stuff. Okay.
It's high school football in Texas, Shannon. It's everything.
So now Baker obviously no longer plays for the University of Oklahoma, and they have to deal with Sam Ehlinger and all of all the resentment he's built up toward Baker on Saturday, and you will be there.
I will.
You can see, you remember the NFC Championship game, Michael Crabtree and Sherm. Sherm knocks the pass away. It gets intercepted. Mm-hmm. Aaron Andrews, Fox interviews him after the game. He's like, what happened? Well, they tried me with a sorry receiver. You tried me with a sorry receiver, that's the result you're going to get.
Yep.
Okay, so you know it's contentious.
Yeah.
Aqib Talib and Michael Crabtree, you know it's contentious. Even though Baker Mayfield is, I don't believe Baker Mayfield and Richard Sherman has never had any interaction. I just think the way Richard Sherman believed that the way Baker has conducted himself, I need to put this young man in his place. And so that's how that started. And Skip, you know, a guy don't have to say, I don't like you, Skip. You make me sick. You know. You could be around. You just know. And Baker sensed it. Baker's feet did not move.
Yep.
He didn't step back. He didn't step forward. He stuck his hand out.
And I was a little surprised we didn't hear a peep out of Baker yesterday via social media.
Yeah, because
the reason we didn't is because he got his butt kicked.
Yes.
He threw for 100 yards.
100.
Yeah. That was it.
Number one for
yeah, yeah, and he had a QBR of a 1 on a scale of 0 to 100.
That's one more than me.
That's
tough.
More than you.
So he took his lumps and he shut his mouth, and I'm sure he'll speak today, I assume, after practice.
But also knowing that he did shake his hand, he didn't really have a lot to have to defend, and I'm sure he assumed that video would surface.
But this is what Baker's up against. And this should give him, say, you know what? I might need to change the way I say things and how I do things. You got a guy like Nick Bosa that says, I don't talk. Mm-hmm. He's got guys going out of their character, going out of their way to get at him.
He does.
So that's what you're up against. That's what you're creating.
You know, that's a good point. Nick Bosa never acted like that before.
No!
He said he's been waiting for 2 years
to do that.
That's what he normally says. They're like, Nick, do you normally talk? He's like, no, I don't normally say anything.
Nope.
Baker.
Yeah, he's like, come on, show me something. Yeah. I mean, come on, try hard to do.
Yeah.
So you're going to get guys going out of their way to try and get at you because they don't feel you're playing the proper respect.
Okay. What's the answer to this? You just got to back it up. You can talk all you want. Shannon Sharpe talked. Shannon Sharpe backed it up.
Yeah.
Hey, football fans. Are you an Amazon Prime member? Did you know that you have Thursday Night Football? Yeah, that's right. Thursday Night Football has returned to Prime Video for a third season. The cool thing is, you can catch all the action on your TV, on the web, or on your mobile device anywhere in the world. And the experience is next level. With Prime Video's X-ray feature, you can access next-gen stats, play history, and team information. And now it's available on iOS, Android, Fire tablets, and Fire TV. If you're ready to hear a new take on the game, you can switch over to sport broadcast legends Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer for the play-by-play. So if you don't have cable or simply want to experience the future of football, tune in this Thursday. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern and kickoff is at 8:20 p.m. Eastern. Also available on Fox and NFL Network. NFL Network simulcast subject to change. Thursday Night Football is presented by Bud Light Platinum. No mercy.
25 NFL coaches, execs, and scouts were asked one simple question. Which quarterback do you want if you have one game to win? 14 of the 25 voters picked Tom Brady, citing that he is one of the best ever at mid-game adjustments and can always find a way to win. Patrick Mahomes was the runner-up with 7 votes. One coach called Mahomes, quote, the most talented guy in the league. You've been talking to that guy, Shannon? Shannon, which QB would you take?
Come on, be honest.
Only honesty.
Be honest.
You want to tell you 100 with God? The God is true.
Yeah.
God's true.
The God's true.
My. The yo here.
God, forgive him.
I got to get my homeboy.
Yeah.
I got to take my homeboy, Skip.
Right.
I know most people are going to take Tom Brady for what he's accomplished, but they say right now, if you got to have a game, you got to win a game right now, that means today.
Yep.
I'm taking Patrick Mahomes. You look at Tom Brady. Tom Brady has not looked like the Tom Brady that we know and love. Skip, he just hasn't. He's 22nd in completion percentage. He's 14th in yards per attempt. He's 9th in QBR. Mahomes is 2nd in QBR, 2nd in yards per attempt. Right now, as we sit here, no quarterback is playing currently better than Patrick Mahomes. Now, Russell Wilson is close, but I believe if I got to have a game and I got to win it, I'm on Mahomes because there's not a throw he can make. That throw that he threw for a touchdown, Tom Brady can never, ever, in his best day, at 21, at 25, at 31, he could have never made that throw.
That's true. I give you that.
That throw that he made on the sideline, mm-hmm. that he dropped it in the bucket from about 35, mm-hmm. Tom Brady could never make that throw on the move.
And
the throw
Tom Brady could never throw it out of the stadium, if in fact he did.
He did it. He did it. The one that he threw early in the game, yeah. to Travis Kelce, where he got it with another no look. He's like, look at over there, hook that mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady would never even think about throwing it left hand. He just wouldn't do it.
Skip. I'm not here to question Tom Brady and what he's accomplished. Mm. He's accomplished that. He won those six Super Bowls. He has all those game-winning drives. Mm. He's won 28, 30 playoff games. That's not what we're talking about today. Today is right now, how they're playing right now. And right now, Patrick Mahomes is playing better. And so if I need someone to win me a game today, I'm taking Patrick Mahomes.
What deeply troubles me about your answer is, if in fact, hypothetically, you did have one game for your life,
yeah.
and you took Patrick Mahomes, I'd have to look for another partner.
No.
I'd have to look for another partner.
That would be it.
No. I'd be sunk, man.
No.
Don't do that.
I'd be back
Don't
at home.
Do that to me.
About halftime, I'd be right here.
Would you?
Yeah, old homeboy done had that thing sold up.
Maybe at halftime, yeah.
Because he'd be like Rodgers, like Rodgers had that thing Sunday on you.
Yeah. Boy, and then he almost didn't.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
So my answer is exactly the answer that one of the anonymous quotes here says from one NFL scouting director. Really? Is his response. Mm. Really? Give me the GOAT. Give me the GOAT. And I got it. Six Super Bowl rings with six game-winning drives. You can't question his all-time clutchness.
No.
But even if we're doing it right here, right now.
Correct.
What did I see just Sunday night? I just saw Patrick Mahomes lose at home, mm-hmm. my homeboy at home,
yeah.
to an Indianapolis team that was down its two starting safeties and down Darius Leonard, who's one of the best linebackers, if not the best linebacker, in pro football. Those three could not play, and he lost at home. One game for your life?
But
I don't know.
But I'm assuming that I'm going to have Eric Fisher, I'm going to have Tyreek Hill, and I'm going to have Sammy Watkins to go along with that. So I'm going to have a starting a Pro Bowl player, an all-pro wide receiver, and a very good wide receiver in Sammy Watkins. Mm. Skip, I mean, look, I'm not – Tom Brady is Tom Brady. Tom Brady is great. But Tom Brady this year, Skip, Tom Brady is not playing like the first, second, third, or fourth best quarterback in the NFL. Right.
So if we just go back a few months – back to that same stadium, Arrowhead Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
You had a few big games there.
Yep.
Overtime, AFC Championship game, what happened? Could we see those plays just to refresh everybody's memory? 3rd and 10 is the first one, and he throws it to Edelman. That was a really good throw. Boy, he doesn't look old to me there. I don't
Skip.
Know. What are you doing? Next one.
That was 8 months
third
ago.
Second 3rd and 10. It was forever ago. Oh, that's to Edelman again. Oh, there's another one. Oh, I don't know how I did that. And then we're going 3rd and 10 again to Gronk, right? To Gronk. Oh, wait, he converted 3 straight 3rd and 10s in the AFC Championship game in the cold at Arrowhead?
Oh, Jenny, read that question.
Was that?
Again. Jenny,
wait,
I need Jenny to read that question.
Did he suddenly just grow old in a few months?
Hold on.
Huh.
If you had to get a win a game, what? Right now.
Which quarterback would you
Skip,
take?
You going, Skip,
okay, right
you're
going. Now, wait a minute. Just 2 weeks ago, Pro Football Focus had him. Tom Brady ranked number one in the league through the first 3 games, right?
So where's he at right now?
So has he just fallen off the proverbial cliff? I don't know.
Okay.
Somebody push him off the cliff? I don't know.
Sunday was Patrick Mahomes' worst game.
Mm.
He threw for 315, one touchdown.
Mm.
We saw Tom Brady throw for 150, no touchdowns, and an interception. So we've seen Tom Brady at his worst. Looked horrible. Skip, I mean, you're looking at him this year, who did he play? He played Miami. We're gonna see what Patrick Mahomes' numbers look like against Miami. Mm-hmm. We're going to find out, right? Because they play Miami. We're going to see.
Okay, that's fine. It won't change my opinion because I love these quotes in here. They're all anonymous, obviously, but one NFC scout said, there's just a level of confidence he gives everyone around him in those moments. He does. Every Patriot in that huddle, under fire, under pressure, in the biggest game of the year, they think Tom Brady's going to pull this off, right?
There's nothing like having a guy like
Another
that.
Another AFC exec says, smart, swagger, and opponents just know he's going to win. They just do. Yeah. I want that guy. One game for my life. And then getting a little more technical, I think this was a general manager said, his ability to process information during the game, adjusting and applying it, is like no other. Most players and coaches have to wait until they see the film after the game. not Brady. He sees everything in the moment. That's what separates him. Patrick Mahomes is still a baby in NFL years. He can't see it, feel it, anticipate it the way Brady can. If your life is on the line in one game, I want the guy who's done it and continues to do it. I want the guy who just won last year's Super Bowl.
The Patriots do the best job that I've seen maybe ever at in-game adjustments, both offense and defense. They do a great job. And that's normally true, Skip. Normally, the best adjustments normally take place after you've seen the film. Oh, that's what they were doing. That's the coverage. Okay, that's the defense that they're running. They was running a weak zone, but that's not what they do. They got great coaches upstairs. They chart everything, and I don't know who they have up there. I guess Coach Belichick say they don't have analytics guys. Mm. But they have guys. I guess they got some really, really smart football guys. And they chart that information, and they race down, Skip. And when they get downstairs, because Mike was very good at that, because when we get downstairs, Skip, when we got into the locker room.
Mike Shanahan.
Yep. They would already have plays drawn up on the board. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is what they're doing to this. Mm-hmm. This is going to be our counter. This is what they're doing to that. This is going to be our counter. Mm-hmm. So that is something to be said. But in that game that you're talking about, my homeboy had 230 yards in the second half and 3 touchdowns.
Which game? Oh, the
AFC Championship game. I believe that game was won on the coin toss. Mm. Skip, I believe whomever got the ball was going to win the game. Tom Brady, he caught.
You no longer have any respect for Belichick's defense?
No. Skip. Hmm? Sometimes when a guy gets hot like that, you know, we baseball players, it can be the best pitcher in the league, but you get a guy swinging a hot bat and you can't get him out. Mm. And at that point in time, as like Brady has figured so many people like defensives out, defensive coordinators out, Mahomes had figured Coach Belichick out at that time. Mm. And there's no stopping him. Just like in the second half of the game in Foxborough, he had figured it out. Mm. Brady just so happened to get the ball last. Gets Gostkowski in field goal range.
What did Brady throw for in the fourth quarter of the game at Foxborough against Mahomes? 182 yards in the fourth quarter. That was just last year.
Yeah.
Just last year.
And
help me out on
Mahomes
this.
Mahomes was down the whole game.
Okay.
Mahomes threw for like almost 500, Skip.
I get it that Patrick Mahomes is like a one-man globetrotter show at quarterback. Mm-hmm. I get it that he can throw it behind his back, through his legs, left-handed, underhanded. Mm-hmm. He can do it all. He can throw cannon shots from 80 yards on a rope.
He can.
He can't. I get all that. But help me out. What big game has he won so far? Help me out. What? None. I mean, show me one signature game where you say, he pulled that off.
Well.
Now, again, it's hard to beat this guy, number 12. It's just hard to beat him.
Yeah.
So he had 2 shots last year, and he's still a baby. But he didn't beat him twice. Is it all his fault? Didn't have the defense, blah, blah, blah. I get that. But when it was time to rise and shine the brightest,
let me ask you a question.
12 shone the brightest.
Pat Mahomes has Coach Belichick calling his defenses. Mm-hmm. And Tom Brady has Bob Sutton calling his defenses. Is the outcome different? I think so.
Yeah.
Why you don't want to get
that Belichick defense last year, it had some low moments.
No, and it still finished top 5.
See Jacksonville, see Detroit.
And it still finished.
See Miami.
And it still finished top 5 in points allowed. Okay. Remember, it's points, not yards, that wins you titles. That's why Tom Brady's only had a handful of times. Not that many hands. Mm. Like 3 times he's finished outside the top 10 in points allowed.
So you would bet your life on a kid who has no signature NFL wins. Really?
Mahomes.
Just on potential. Both. I'll bet my life on what I think he could do. No.
I know what he could do.
I know what you would do. You would take Tom Brady.
I'm taking Mahomes. Skip. They're not saying last year they'll see what he did in the AFC Championship game. They didn't say, did you know that the other guy won 6? They said, right now. And right now, that guy is playing better than the guy that has 6 Super Bowls. That's all.
Right now, one guy is undefeated and the other guy lost at home to Indianapolis.
Oh,
well, if you're doing right, you threw me the right now argument and I threw it back at you. That's all I know.
A couple days ago.
Okay.
I want my homeboy.
Huh.
Right. My guy is MVP favorite. Where's your guy?
Mahomes lost to Jacoby Brissett at home? Really?
Your guy lost to Nick Foles.
Huh.
Your guy lost to Marcus Mariota.
Huh.
Marcus
last year.
Mariota.
That was another Belichick disaster.
I mean, let that sink in for a second. Mm-hmm. Marcus Mariota.
And my guy just won another Super Bowl. Well, that's what happened. After the Mariota game, he went on to win the Super
Bowl. He did.
Yep, and he went on to convert 3 third-and-10s in overtime at Kansas
City. I played with a guy that converted 2 fourth-and-10s, but I ain't talking about him. Oh. My homeboy going to win some Super Bowls, too. Mm. Now, when he win those, Skip Bayless,
might.
Ain't nobody. Yeah. It's just a matter of time.
Yep.
And I want you to have that energy right there.
Yeah, listen, with number 12, I have boundless energy.
Your light about to dim. It's dimming. It's flickering.
Really?
It's flickering. Yeah, that light flickering.
Well, you've predicted this is his last year in New England.
You know, when it goes out, it's done. No mercy. The Patriots released another offensive weapon, and Tom Brady isn't too happy about it. When veteran tight end Ben Watson was let go earlier this week, Brady said that he is only the quarterback and does not make personnel decisions. Brady also reflected on how the decision impacted him personally. Take a listen.
Pretty tough, you know. Pretty tough. I mean, it's tough for a lot of guys. I've played with a lot of guys over the years, and, you know, Ben's a great player. Just he's been a great player for this team, for other teams. You know, he's had an incredible career, and you know, hopefully he can keep playing. And I know he was looking forward to playing. And you know, I miss him. He was right next to me. And for as great as a player he was 10 times better person. Just the highest integrity. And you know, I can't say enough good things about Ben, what he's meant to me and my family, our team. So we're going to miss him.
Okay, Shannon, what does this tell you about Brady?
Before I get into my point, Jenny, you notice Tom says he's the quarterback. He stays out of personnel decisions, except when it comes to Jimmy G. And then he goes upstairs and talks to his dad. Mm. But he stays out of personnel. You know what I'm saying, Jenny?
Oh.
I'll stay out of personnel.
I feeling that could come
whoa, whoa, exactly. So you don't stay out of personnel unless that personnel is you. Okay. Not to the point you asked me, Jenny.
Yes.
Well, wait a second. The kid's going to replace him. The coach is going to say, I'm going with Jimmy G.
If you stay out of
what would you do?
If you stay out of personnel, you stay out of personnel.
Oh, so you say, okay, I'll go somewhere else.
If you stay out of he said he stayed out of personnel. So in other words, like you said at the beginning, Richard Sherman lied. In other words, Tom Brady just told a lie. So he doesn't stay out of personnel. But Skip, let me get to my point. Why you keep interrupting me?
Just to bring you back on the track.
Ben Watson, I know Ben Watson personally. He's a great guy.
Yep.
And, you know, Skip, the difference between players in the locker room and coaches is that the players in the locker room, you interact with these guys on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. You become very, very close to a lot of these guys, Skip.
Sure.
And a lot of times, like in games, you know, after a game, you have family come in, and you're like, such and such, hey, I have a lot of guys. Hey, Sharp, let me introduce you to my mom. Mm-hmm. Let me introduce you to my dad. Let me introduce you to my wife, my fiance. Yep. Hey, Sharp, this is my little boy. Mm-hmm. So you get close, Skip. You develop a relationship with guys.
Sure.
But you understand that there's a cruel part of this business. It means that sometimes friends, very close friends, will get traded or get released.
Sure. Yep.
That's the downside of this business because you do build such great relationships. And it affects you. But you know the one person that this never affects is Coach Belichick because he never gets close. Coach Belichick understood for a very long time that no matter how great a player you are or no matter how much you might think he likes you, there will come a time, no matter how great you are, you'll get traded or you'll get released.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't have that attachment, Skip, that players have with each other because we mingle day to day.
It's different.
We're in the locker room. We're in the meetings. We're laughing and joking on the plane, on the bus, stretching. Coach Belichick doesn't get that. He's out there when we're laughing and joking. If you notice, Skip, he's twirling his whistle. He's doing that. Well, guys are building relationships because Coach Belichick understands it makes his decision tougher. There's a reason why in the military, there's no fraternizing. Higher ups, you're a general, you're a colonel, you're a lieutenant.
That is true.
You can't mingle with no subordinates because it makes your job tougher. Because there's this thing called you might have to go to war. And if you love us like a subordinate or you got favor, you might not want to put him in harm's way.
Yep.
Coach Belichick is looking, if I like this guy, it's going to make my decision. Cost the Giants. Because John Mara had a relationship with Eli Manning, Skip. It clouded his judgment. It made a decision that should have been made years ago. It made it tough on him. Now he finds himself in this position. Coach Belichick will never have that problem. Coach Belichick will get rid of a guy a year early as opposed to a year late.
Even Tom Brady. Yep.
So I understand Tom. And Tom, I believe Tom is sincerely, genuinely hurt, because if you're around Ben Watson for more than a minute, you'll understand what Tom Brady's talking about.
Yep. So my interpretation of all this outpouring from Tom Brady, and that was rare for him.
It was emotional.
Boy, he went on. That got very emotional by his standards.
Yes.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
You don't get that from him.
No.
I think he was taking another subtle shot at his head coach, whom he believes is taking another not so subtle shot at him, making his degree of difficulty higher and higher because you lost Rob Gronkowski. Congratulations to him. He's now working for Fox.
Yep.
I don't know if he will go back to Tom Brady. I thought he would, but maybe this is
so.
A signal that maybe he's found a new home. And I'm sure that will hurt Tom to some degree, because I think he was holding out hope that maybe Rob would rejoin him in November.
Right.
But the point is, Belichick did draft N'Keal Harry, and it was the first wide receiver he's taken since he's been the New England coach. Mm-hmm. And yet N'Keal Harry got hurt in the preseason, and he's gone for the first eight games.
Correct.
So all of a sudden, you replace Rob Gronkowski with Matt LaCosse on his fifth team, and Ryan Izzo, a former seventh-round draft choice of Belichick's.
Right.
That's it. That's all you got. And at least Ben Watson would give you a viable, trustable veteran receiver who gets you, knows you, and that you have trust and rapport with.
He was originally drafted by the Patriots, spent 6 years with the Patriots, won a Super Bowl with the Patriots. So Tom, you know, is very familiar with Ben Watson.
Right.
And if you look at what he says, Skip, Tom Brady said, oh, those guys are trying. They're really working hard.
Right. You know? But he made a clear point. I know Ben was looking forward to playing.
Yes.
Obviously, he was suspended for the first four games, and you kept making the point, hey, they do get Ben Watson back because you had respect for what he could do to help them.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Especially in the dire circumstance that they're in.
Right.
Even Philip Dorsett pulled up lame the other day.
Right.
So now it's Edelman and James White, and that's about it.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
That's hard, man. Degree of difficulty. Mm-hmm. So Tom went from the greatest new toy you could ever have, Antonio Brown.
Right.
To losing Ben Watson to, wait a minute, I got Matt LaCosse and Ryan Izzo?
And Skip, I knew something was up. Because the moment, normally when guys come off a situation, you're suspended for two games, four games, whatever it is, teams normally immediately activate that guy.
Yep.
Oh.
Once he wasn't immediately activated, I was like, okay, now what's going on?
That's a good point.
Huh. Something's not on the up and up. Mm-hmm. It's not like these guys will, Skip, a lot of times they don't, guys are blowing it away. Mm-hmm. This guy's gone, caught a couple of three or four touchdowns in the first two or three games, or has over 100 yards in the first two or three games. You're like, okay, well, they've seen enough. They're going to move on. Mm-hmm. But these guys are giving them no indication that moving forward, they're going to be anything more than just serviceable.
Right. So I consider Tom Brady the greatest leader in sports today.
Mm-hmm.
And the Tom Brady I know would never have said what he said about Ben Watson, because usually it's next man up. We just got to move forward. Love Ben, but now we got to work hard with Ryan and Matt. And,
right.
You know, like he would be on to the next
day
and
we're
on to Cincinnati.
Right.
In that way, he's a reflection of his head coach.
Right.
Well, when you gush like this, you're showing this hits you right in the heart, man. And this is hitting you where you live because you're starting to fear you just don't have enough weapons to get home.
And,
right?
and he says, like, we need to show more consistency on offense because they've struggled a lot, with the exception of the first game, Skip. Mm-hmm. If you look at Miami, it was those two pick sixes that really broke the game wide open.
Mm-hmm.
They struggled in Buffalo.
Yep.
They got it going late in Washington.
They did.
But Tom is like, we need to, and you talk about we need to get more consistent, we need to do better, but with what?
Yeah, I mean, they were down 7-0 at Washington, and it was still a game at halftime.
Right.
Then he wound up throwing for 342, and it sort of broke open.
It gets personal, Skip, especially when, like I said, when you know a guy, because Skip, there are a lot of times, I mean, there's 53 guys in the locker room, maybe 60 guys with the development squad. Everybody you're not close to, but a guy that you're really close to, Skip, that you really know, you laugh, you talk, you joke with, he gets released, it hits you different.
Yep.
As opposed to a guy, you like, you see him around, you're like, hey, man, what's up? You know, going like, Ben Watson, you know, he's that kind of guy that He's a great guy. He's great in the community.
Yep.
Talk to him about anything, mm-hmm. any topic. A family guy. Got seven. He and his wife welcomed their seventh kid. I think they had twins. Maybe mm-hmm. they had twins. But he got seven kids now. Mm-hmm. So he and Tom can talk about a lot of different
sure.
things.
Yep.
And like, and for two, and he's like, he's only making $2 million. Tom was like, well, hell, you only gave me $8 million. Mm. You cut AB because you didn't want to give him all his whatever that reason was. Ben's only making $2 million. Where the hell all the money go?
That much.
Where the money?
Lacoste and Izzo make like $4 an hour. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. And it was Taco Tuesday, so they didn't get paid yesterday. They got paid in tacos.
Oh.
So bottom line from Tom Brady, he said, I mean, I'm the quarterback, so I don't make those decisions. And that hit me hard last night because I had just finished a long story on ESPN.com about the Anthony Davis trade to the Lakers.
Okay.
And in it, it pointed out through quotes from Anthony Davis that every move Rob Pelinka made post-trade, all the additions, which I think are really good, to the bottom of the roster
right.
as he scrambled to make up because they were waiting for number two's
right.
decision. Every move he called AD and LeBron, you good? You know, right. you like this guy?
Right.
Can you work with this guy?
Right.
Can you get along with
yes.
this guy? So they co-signed on every move Rob Pelinka made.
Right.
Well, that's kind of the flip side of New England, right? Yeah. Because this guy.
Yeah, if football is not like that, Skip.
It is not like that.
Maybe they might give you a courtesy call, Skip, with one guy, maybe it's a receiver. What do you think about this guy? But as far as, like, they signing a defensive guy or a D lineman, or they don't give a damn what you think about that. We doing what we want to
yeah.
do. But in basketball, oh, you best believe if the Nets bring someone in, they talking to Kyrie and KD. Well, obviously, you would expect that for a superstars weigh differently in basketball than they do football. So I'm not surprised that Tom Brady doesn't get a call. But Coach Skip, Tom Brady
could make the case he deserves a call.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean.
Tom could have won 12 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Coach Belichick ain't calling Tom to run anything by him.
Because then you would have to share some credit for this decision with the quarterback.
Yes.
And I do not believe Tom Brady ever has quite gotten over the Malcolm Butler decision not to play him at the Minneapolis Super Bowl, right?
Get to Malcolm Butler. I'm not getting over you tried to get rid of me.
He did.
At the end of the day, Skip Bayless, you tried to get rid of me.
I know, but remember, for a fact. But Tom threw for 505 in that game, and they lost, 41-33. And Malcolm Butler was doghouse the whole game. Didn't play a snap on defense.
But still, Skip, I threw for man, you know what? I'm trying to win this game. I mean, think about it, Skip. I'm in that game, and I'm walking to the sideline, and I see Coach Belichick at the corner of my eye because I'm walking towards Josh McDaniel. That mofo tried to trade me. He tried to get rid of me.
That is correct. That's exactly what he would think. And he probably thinks that that might flash through his head this afternoon
at
the practice field.
I mean, come on.
Fascinating.
As accomplished as that.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you work at a say Apple or Google, and you come up with these patents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you discovered the iPhone, or you came up with this app that everybody's using, and they're like, you know what? We want this guy that's under you.
Mm.
We're gonna give him your job. You know,
And then to act like it's no big deal every single day.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we Apple, we gonna move on without you.
Mm. Okay.
They are an interesting dynamic.
But it takes a lot. I mean, Skip, a lot of people couldn't deal with that. A lot of people couldn't deal with what Tom goes through. Because at the end of the day, you got at some point in time, you got to pat me on my back.
Sure.
I mean, I understand, but you got to, even with my dog, they go outside, I say, good boy, when you go out, you got to give me something.
Two off seasons ago, Jim Gray asked Tom, do you feel appreciated by the organization? He said, I plead the fifth.
That's crazy.
Skip, and when they ask him about Tom, he always says, we got a lot of good players. Man, that man didn't ask you, do you got a lot of good players? He asked you about Brady.
He's like, we got a real good quarterback.
He's like, Tom is really good.
He's a good quarterback.
I mean, it wouldn't be that hard.
But we got a lot of good players.
Mm-hmm.
But Skip, that works.
Mm-hmm.
That way he keeps everybody on the level playing field.
Yep.
Nobody thinks they're better than anybody else, because if you do, he reminds you very quickly, oh, you just like him.
I don't know. No mercy. The Cowboys have looked like two different teams this season. They started out 3-0, and Dak Prescott had 9 touchdowns with only 2 picks. Since then, Dallas has lost their last 2, and Dak has thrown 2 touchdowns and 4 interceptions in those losses. Those are the numbers, Skip. Terrell, who are the real Cowboys in your eyes?
Wow. It's hard to say, because you watch them the first 3 weeks and you say, the Cowboys look really good.
Mm.
Look really good, Skip. But then you see them the next 2 weeks. You play New Orleans, a low-scoring affair, some opportunities in that game that they didn't capitalize on. And then this week, Green Bay comes into their home. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked at how Aaron Jones was able to run the football against the Dallas Cowboys defense, which I thought was a strength of this defense. And they just completely they fell behind early, never caught up. So I'm trying to gauge, who are we really seeing? Is it the last 2 weeks or the first 3 weeks? In my opinion, it's somewhere in between. I'm not trying to parse this and say, you know, I'm not trying to coward on this answer here, but I don't know. Because when you play a team you're supposed to beat, which they did, the first 3 weeks, they beat, soundly. And that's who you're supposed to do, right? Team you're supposed to beat, you're supposed to destroy them. They did that. But then when you have better competition that you're facing, and
rise to the occasion.
Yeah, and I don't see the level of elevation that I'm expecting from the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know who that is, you know. And you have a quarterback that has a big bright light that's on him, that's shining. That there was moments in that game where you say, "Here's where you can stand up. Here's where you can stand up to make that money." Now there were some throws and some interceptions. Now Cooper, the one behind him, it hits your hands. You got to make that catch.
Thank you.
You got to save your quarterback.
Yeah, Shannon Sharp.
But we also say this too, Skip, that not only seeing somebody open, it's ball location.
Huh?
It's location and where you put that football.
Yeah. Right,
so if he puts it in front of him,
that's a tub.
Does he catch it? Does he score?
Did that throw deserve to be intercepted?
It did not.
No.
It did not.
Thank you.
And I'm with you in terms of when I see a quarterback throw a football and it hits a receiver's hands and it goes off that person and it's intercepted, that shouldn't be on a quarterback stat sheet.
Thank you.
It shouldn't be there. However, again, accuracy matters on this level. If the ball was more accurate, so there's two things to it, accuracy and now Cooper has to make that catch. But the Cowboys, to me, are a team that every year they're inflated in what they can do. It's just that's the world they live in. It's the Cowboys. They're inflated every year. Cowboys are going to be
thanks to him.
Either. Yeah.
Thanks to him.
Skip has a lot to do with that. And they're inflated to, to win their division and be in the Super Bowl without even having a resume of, a lot of times it's kind of a stair-step approach, right? You see a team 1 year, and not that there's any carryover on this level, but you're like, all right, they have the same starting year, you know, really good offensive line. Offensive line was banged up this week, so I'll give you a little reprieve on that, Skip. But then you say, all right, this should equal that because you have these weapons. Before, 2 years ago, Dak didn't have the weapons he has now.
No.
And now they're saying down that he has Amari Cooper. Now he has Michael Gallup. Now he has Randall Cobb. He should be, and he's got Zeke back.
Yeah.
This offense should be explosive. And it hasn't been consistently explosive each week. And that's where I'm struggling with. Who are we seeing every week with the Dallas Cowboys? Yep. Potential is there, and that word is dangerous on this level. Potential. Anybody has potential. I've just seen a very offense that hasn't been consistent and a team that hasn't been consistent as they should have been the last couple of years. So, to me, they're not even a top 10 team right now. Not even a top 10 team right now, let alone, you know, some team that should be competing for a Super Bowl.
All right, at least that was objective. Now for the hate.
No. They are a middle-of-the-pack team. Middle, 32 teams, they're middle of the pack.
That is going to miss the playoffs, says Shannon.
Well, we already got our cases. Okay. Because here's the thing, Skip. Until Dak can show he can win games without Zeke running for 1,000 yards, this is what they're going to be. Now, we've seen this. That's it. He has an opportunity Sunday to prove people like myself that has not seen him do it. Okay, I'm going to do it. They going to shut Zeke down. I'm going to do it. He has Amari. He has Gallup. He has Randall Cobb. Has Jason Witten. And what now? So you beat the three teams you're supposed to beat. But the combined record of those three teams, 2-12. So that's what you're supposed to do. You added to that 2-12 because you put losses on them. But now we come to New Orleans with old Teddy. Troubled
bridge
water.
Over
bridge. That one. Then we got Aaron Rodgers with no Devontae.
Yep.
Who had just lost at home to the Eagles.
No, you got the wrong Aaron. You got Aaron Jones. As you pointed out correctly. It wasn't about Aaron Rodgers. It was about Aaron Jones.
So, to make a long story short, here. Middle of the pack team, the best team in the NFC East are the Eagles. Your turn.
So, the real Dallas Cowboys are going to win the NFC East, and then they're going to win the NFC, because I'm dug in on that, and I still believe in this team with all my heart and soul. And what I have seen is pretty much what you saw We saw explosive offense in the first three games against three easy opponents. And then we saw at New Orleans no Michael Gallup. And we saw the offense sputter. They had chances. They did not cash on chances. And we saw the defense rise and shine and keep Teddy Bridgewater completely out of the end zone. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Teddy Bridgewater is playing at a pretty high level right now.
Yeah.
Against Tampa.
Yeah.
Really good. He went once upon a time 11-5 as the Minnesota starter and got them to the playoffs, and he got to the Pro Bowl. So he's pretty good. So that was pretty impressive. And then all of a sudden, I saw shell shock. I still haven't quite recovered from 31-3 down late in the third quarter at home. And I don't know where my defense went, because I've seen this happen where my defense didn't show up for a playoff game against Aaron Rodgers back in 2016 after they went 13-3 and had home field. And I don't know where the defense went. It didn't show. And they were down 21-3. And then guess what
happened? Where's your offense?
My quarterback said, no, not in my house. I'm not going to let this happen. And Sunday he said it again. No, not in my house. 2016 playoff game, he threw them all the way back to a 31 all time. Sunday, he nearly got them back, and it would have been the greatest regular season comeback in history. And he was within one throw of that, and it was the third interception. And Kevin King gets away with mugging Michael Gallup, just throwing him down so he couldn't turn out of his route. He did mug him. And that's another one. You just don't deserve that pick on your record. It just shouldn't count. Well, okay, you say it does because you're spewing hate. And now all the Cowboy haters have come back out of the woods because they were in hiding, and they're spewing hate from sea to shining sea. And I'm going to use your line. I want that same energy in the next few weeks because I think my team can win at the Jets.
You ain't not getting no energy from the Jets. Yeah. I'm not giving you no energy. I'm going to come here all
no
somber.
No energy there, but then the Eagles
now we talking.
Come calling, and we'll see what happens.
Now we talking.
My quarterback in the second half threw for 329 yards. It's hard when you can't throw, says the
empty
whole thing.
Empty calories.
Can't throw, and you throw for 329 against a defense that is young, but it is really talented. And you have lost your star left tackle and your star right tackle. And those two Smiths, they're just firing off the edges at my quarterback. They're draped all over him every throw, and he throws for 329.
If he's what you say he is, he got to win those games. See, because what Dak
did. He almost did.
What Dak did. You know, we get them good old workouts, work out hard. You've been training for like 2 hours.
Yep.
Good workout.
Yep.
You want to go home and get something nutritious, something that's going to fuel your body.
Yep.
Nice carb, nice protein, and some fats. You go home and eat 5 donuts.
Yeah.
Empty calories. Those stats he got were empty.
How great these calories were. They were pure, high protein.
No. See, what you had, Skip, what he did for you, good for you. It ain't good to you.
Okay, yeah, it is. Here's what happened. If my kicker hadn't missed a chip shot field goal, it was still going to come down to an onside kick, and it was a ball game at that
point. They got 12% of the onside last year. They got none of them this year thus far.
Now, I watched that game, and at no point did I feel like the Cowboys.
We're going to win.
We're going to win that game.
Thank you.
Wait a second. They cut it to 31-17, and the interception happened. Okay, but if they go right down and score, and it's 31-24 with 9 minutes left, I like my chances.
And I think part of what he's saying is when you watch a game, there is a certain feeling that you have about the quarterback and the chances that he has to win that game. And I'm watching it. I'm like, okay, if they can just score right here, because they went to the fourth quarter. It was 31-17. I said they have a shot, I'm like, wait a minute. So far, the play has been erratic. Mm. There's been drops. There's been interceptions, and I was like, I don't know. Mm. Especially and so Skip, you talk about those yards that come late in the game. That's typical how it works out in games, right?
I don't know.
It is, because when a team is behind, you know what? It's all gas at that point.
Okay.
It's all gas. Mm-hmm. They're fighting so hard to come back.
Green Bay
they're
did
throwing.
Not back off. They played man
Nothing.
Across the ball.
I don't even want no yards like that.
No.
I just tell them, wipe mine from the stat. If we behind by 25 points and I end up with 180, I say, I don't even want them.
Yeah.
I don't want them yards. Them old cheap yards. Them old junk yards.
I'll take them yards, though.
Yeah, you'll take them.
I want my yards in meaningful time.
Yeah.
Only the good ones. TD, thank you for joining
us.
It was a good time. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for joining us.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this: crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Clutch Sports agent Rich Paul may have taken an unintended shot, Giannis Antetokounmpo, when discussing how great his client Anthony Davis is. Paul was praising AD's passing ability and compared him to Giannis, saying, quote, if you put Anthony Davis on the Bucks team last year, they'd be playing in the finals. Kind of harsh there. Shannon, do you agree?
Well, Skip, I went back and forth with this. I was like, man, I don't know about that. But then I started thinking, what limited the Bucks? What limited Giannis was his inability to shoot the ball from outside? What sets Anthony Davis apart from most bigs in the NBA? Mm-hmm. His ability to shoot the ball from outside. So I'm going to have to agree with Rich Paul on this one. Mm-hmm. Skip, before this debacle, if you want to call it that, the trade that didn't happen, that was supposed to happen, that may have happened, Anthony Davis was averaging 29 points, 13 rebounds, 2.5 blocks, 4 assists. Giannis ended the season averaging 28 points, 12.5 rebounds, 6 assists, 1.5 blocks. But it's Anthony Davis's ability to shoot the ball from outside that separates him from Giannis. Giannis has not quite developed a consistent jumper, be it from the three or from outside. What Toronto did was that we build a wall. We're not letting you in the lane.
Yep.
If you can dunk from the three-point line or from half court, so be it. But you're not going to get the Euro step and get in the paint and lay it up and dunk, or we have to foul you. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. And once they started pushing him out further and further, making him shoot jumpers, making him settle for the three, you saw what happened. Skip, I don't know if people remember just how dominant AD was when they played Portland 2 years ago. There is no shame in losing to a healthy, fully loaded Golden State. And that's what AD has lost to in the Western Conference. Now, he's only been to the playoffs twice, but both times he's run up against Golden State. Losing to Golden State, there's no shame in that. And losing to Golden State with KD at full strength, Steph, Klay, and Draymond, there's no slouch. So I'm going to have to agree with Rich Paul on this one. It's only because I believe AD is a better player from the outside and can get shots better than Giannis can.
So here's my bottom line to everything you just said. It's impossible for me to disagree with Rich Paul because I don't know yet. I need to see yet now. Giannis got exposed at the highest level because he couldn't shoot it. And I've always questioned, does he have that killer in him? Mm-hmm. Is he that guy? What I love the most about the NBA playoffs, they either expose or exaggerate whether you're that guy or not. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan was the guy. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant has proven to be that guy.
Right.
And yet, Giannis, I'm not sure about.
And most, not to cut you off, but most guys, when you look at their scoring average, if you're that guy, it elevates in the playoffs.
It does.
Michael Jordan's scoring average is higher in the postseason than it is in the regular season.
Yeah.
Can so is Kobe's.
The basket at the moment?
Yeah.
That's what happens in the NBA playoffs. Yeah. I don't know yet about Anthony because regular season, he was way below 500, 216 to 250 losses in New Orleans. Two playoff appearances, had one big series against two guys in Portland who are not that guy to me, Dame and CJ. And yet running up against Golden State, he put up some good numbers against Golden State, but they had no chance.
No.
So I don't know yet. Guess where he plays now? He is LeBron James' sidekick at Staples Center in Los Angeles, California, Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And the brightest lights in the league are going to be on Anthony Davis. Mm. Are you made of that stuff? I don't know yet. I have my doubts about it. But for Rich Paul to say that, I don't know. Is it a shot at Giannis? It's really just trying to build up his own client. Right. But again, maybe he could have.
Maybe. Yeah. But the thing is, let's not discount what Kawhi and Toronto.
Yeah.
They got going at the right time. A lot of times, Skip, it's not so much you get hot at the right time.
I know. And they were getting big contribution from Van Vliet and Siakam.
Kyle Lowry all of a sudden started hitting shots. Yep. Like you said, Siakam have a game or two where he go for 30. Ooh. And then boom.
Yep. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts. Sports. One of one.